Prunadapi sunichena tarori vasahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari harinama harinama harinamai vakivalam kalo nasyeva 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 gatiranyata. Chapter 14 of Bhagavad Gita is entitled The Three Modes of Material Nature. All embodied souls are under the control of these three modes or qualities of material nature: goodness, passion, ignorance. In this chapter, Lord Krishna explains what these modes are, how they act upon us, how one can transcend them, and what are the symptoms of one who has attained that transcendental state. Srila Prabhupada, in the first verse, gives a nice summary understanding of this 14th chapter. I would like to first of all offer my obeisances to my spiritual master, who initiated me and accepted me as his disciple on April 16th, 1974, and then again accepted me as his Brahminical student on September 6, 1975. Nama Ong Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namane Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesh Shunyavadi Pashtyatya Deshatarane. So Srila Prabhupada says, from the 7th chapter to the end of the 12th chapter, Sri Krishna in detail reveals the absolute truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, the Lord himself is further enlightening Arjuna. If one understands this chapter through the process of philosophical speculation, he or she will come to an understanding of devotional service. In the 13th chapter, it was clearly explained that by humbly developing knowledge, one may possibly be freed from material entanglement. It has also been explained that it is due to association with the three modes of nature that the living entity is entangled in this material world. Now, in this 14th chapter, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, explains what those modes of nature are, how they act, how they bind, and how they give liberation. The knowledge explained in this 14th chapter is proclaimed by the Supreme Lord to be superior to the knowledge given so far in other chapters. By understanding this knowledge, various great sages attained perfection and transferred to the spiritual world. The Lord now explains the same knowledge in a better way. This knowledge is far, far superior to all other process of knowledge thus far explained. And knowing this, many attained perfection. Thus, it is expected that one who understands this 14th chapter will attain perfection. So my job tonight is to explain this chapter to you so that you will understand it and you will all achieve perfection. Everybody okay with that? Who would like to achieve perfection? Then say, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. All right. So in this chapter, there are 27 verses which we chanted the Sanskrit. And this chapter can be seen in different sections. So verses 1 through 5 can be seen as the fundamental principles to understand the modes of nature. Verse number 1. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, so that's important. When we read Bhagavad Gita, we should know the highest authority is speaking. Those who accept Krishna know that whatever he says in Bhagavad Gita, there is nothing that is more authoritative. Again, I shall declare to you this supreme wisdom, the best of all knowledge, knowing which all the sages have attained the supreme perfection. The supreme perfection, that depends. If you are a jnani, the supreme perfection is becoming one with the supreme. If you are a yogi, perfection means to realize Paramatma. But if you are a bhakta, if you are a devotee, perfection means to go back home, back to Godhead, either in Krishna Loka or in one of the Vaikuntha planets. Krishna continues, by becoming fixed in this knowledge, one can attain to the transcendental nature like my own. Thus established, one is never born at the time of creation, nor disturbed at the time of dissolution. So Krishna's transcendental nature, Sat, Chit, Anand. Krishna's existence, Krishna's body, is eternal, fully of knowledge, and full bliss. And now he is saying, if you can become fixed in the knowledge of this chapter, you can attain that same existence. And that will be the conclusion of verse number 26 and 27. Let us continue. The total material substance called Brahman is the source of birth, and it is that Brahman that I impregnate, making possible the births of all living beings, O son of Bharat. So in further studies of Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahavishnu glances at the material nature. That glance takes the form of Shambhu, who then impregnates the material nature with the seed-like forms of all the living entities. So, you could say Mahavishnu is the father, or you could say Lord Shiva is the father, depending on where you want to see. Text number 4. It should be understood that all species of life, O son of Kunti, are made possible by birth in this material nature, and that I am the seed-giving father. So, this verse, it is clear. Krishna is claiming he is the seed-giving father. This substantiates what Krishna will say in the next chapter. Mamai vangso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. Krishna claims the living entities as his angsha. Those angshas are his separated infinitesimal parts and parcels. Here again he is saying that I am the seed-giving father. Just like many of you have children, you were the seed-giving father. So Krishna is saying, I'm the seed-giving father of all the species of life. Therefore, we sometimes address Krishna as Jagatpati. Not Jagatpate. Jagatpati. Last night, we had a little joke. Let's continue. Material nature consists of three modes: goodness, passion, and ignorance. When the living entity comes in contact with nature, O mighty Arjuna, one becomes conditioned by these modes. Prabhupada explains elsewhere, unless you are, keep yourself uncontaminated, say you're a doctor. When you're a doctor, you're dealing with so many infectious diseases. But the doctor knows, I have to keep myself clean. Otherwise, he could get sick. And in olden days, that would happen many times. So the doctor knows how to deal with the diseased person and not get contaminated. That's the pure devotee. Otherwise, as soon as you contact goodness, passion, or ignorance, you become conditioned. What happens if you overindulge in alcohol? What happens? You get drunk. And policemen have told me, almost all crimes are committed under the influence of alcohol or some drug. Police have told me. Then there is the mode of passion. In the mode of passion, we become very enthusiastic to enjoy this world. What does that mean? I want to be famous. I want to be powerful. I want to be the controller. I want everyone to do what I say. I start to see myself as the Lord of all I survey. Sound like anybody you know? You know any of these people? Then there is the mode of goodness. The Brahmana is supposed to be the emblem of the mode of goodness. Calm. Senses are controlled. Clean. Charitable. Speaks the truth. Not like a politician. Politician will say one thing to you and say the direct opposite to you. Politicians. A Brahman is compassionate and tolerant and forgiving. A Brahmana has good knowledge. Why? Not because he went to university, because he studies Vedas, Bhagavad Gita. Not only that, because he has put that knowledge into practice, now he has vigyan. Realization. Book knowledge is good, but unless you start to apply it, then it's not really, you're not getting the benefit. But once you start to put the knowledge to practice, what does Krishna say? We heard in chapter 9. Pratyakshavagamam dharmyam. You'll see the results of being a Bhagavad Gita follower as soon as you begin to implement. Anything that Krishna says, as soon as you begin to implement it, you'll get some realization. Otherwise, why would me, someone like me, continue with this process? I'm not going to waste several hours every day mumbling some prayers unless I'm getting something from it. Trust me. I'm not going to waste my time. But those who do bhakti, who do the chanting, who do the hearing, why do they do it? Because they see the result. You see the change in yourself. I've said many times, if you had seen me 40 years ago, you would say, that wasn't you. That was a completely different person. Yes. I had hair down to here, big beard. But this Maha Mantra, and of course Prasad, changed all that. Everyone chant the Maha Mantra for me. The next section, verses 6 through 18, is a comparative analysis of these three modes of nature. Keep in mind, Bhagavad Gita is a summary. If you want expanded, you go to Bhagavatam. Gita, only 18 chapters, only 700 slokas. So Krishna is teaching concise. Whereas Bhagavatam, 18,000. So Bhagavatam takes whatever is here in Gita and elaborates, gives you more detailed, scientific. For instance, in chapter 6, Krishna gave a summary of the yoga system from verses 10 to, I think, 30. But in Bhagavatam, Kapila Dev puts a whole chapter, detailed information on meditation. It's like that. Okay. O sinless one, the mode of goodness, being purer than the others, is illuminating and it frees one from all sinful reactions. Those situated in that mode become conditioned by a sense of happiness and knowledge. So, we will see, of the three modes, goodness is preferred. Because if you're going to be conditioned, yes, I'd rather be conditioned by happiness and knowledge. Watch what happens in the mode of passion and ignorance, and you'll see why. The mode of passion is born of unlimited desires and longings, O son of Kunti. And because of this, the embodied living entity is bound to material, fruitive actions. So, unlimited desires and longings. In other words, there's no peace. If you're constantly wanting and desiring, you're never actually enjoying. It's one thing after another, after another, after another, after another. And what did Krishna say? You're bound to material fruit of actions because it doesn't come out of the sky. You have to work for it. You want to do anything in this world, be a president, or you want to be businessman, or you want to be athlete, you have to work and work hard, day and night, for years. Maybe you'll get your success. But even then, you have to continue. Who was telling me last night? I think it was last night that when you become a doctor, so you have to spend so many years studying as a doctor. Oh, not it was Friday night. I was at somebody's house. There were two doctors there. And the doctor was saying, you all know, to be a doctor, go to college, then so much more, then residency. Takes a long time to be a doctor. And he said, but then, even after you're a doctor, you have to continue because more and more information is coming. You have to keep up with all the... So, you're continuing. Now, verse number 8. O son of Bharat, know that the mode of darkness, born of ignorance, is the delusion of all embodied living beings. The results of this mode are madness, indolence, and sleep, which bind the conditioned soul. So now you've heard. So hopefully you'll agree of the three mode of goodness. If you want the mode of passion or ignorance, Krishna gives you that free will. But Krishna, this is what I like about Krishna. He tells you this is going to be the result. Now you may say, oh, I like madness. I like indolence. I like sleep. So Krishna says, okay, I used to distribute Bhagavad Gita in airports and bus stations. And sometimes I would meet an individual, oh, I don't want this book. I am atheist. So I would say, no, take this book. It will teach you how to be a better atheist. Read chapter 16. It's all there. If you want to learn how to be a demon, chapter 16, Krishna will tell you. Here you go. You can be a first class demon. But that's the trick. Because as soon as he touches the book, something will happen. Prabhupada used to say like that, if they simply touch the book, they may come back next life as human being. Just by, what to speak if they read one word, one line. These books are so powerful. O son of Bharat, know that the mode of darkness born of ignorance is the delusion. All right, I read that. Text number 9. O son of Bharat, the mode of goodness conditions one to happiness. Any problem there? Anybody not want to be conditioned to happiness? Who wants to be conditioned to suffering? Nah. So the mode of goodness conditions one to happiness. Passion conditions one to fruit of action. And ignorance, covering one's knowledge, binds one to madness. Sometimes the mode of goodness becomes prominent, defeating the modes of passion and ignorance. Sometimes the mode of passion defeats goodness and ignorance, and at other times, ignorance defeats goodness and passion. In this way, there is always competition for supremacy. Now, this verse can be seen on a large scale or even individually within yourself, throughout your life, throughout the day, throughout the time you spend. You can notice, oh, I'm becoming overcome by this mode now. In the morning, before sunrise, up until about 10 o'clock, mode of goodness is prevalent. That's why spiritual people, they do their sadhana beginning before the mode of, before sunrise. Like Krishna, when he was in Dwaraka, he didn't need an alarm clock. The roosters would crow around 1.5 hours before sunrise. Krishna would immediately rise from bed and begin his spiritual practices. So the best time for spiritual sadhana, morning. And anyone who's done it, you'll immediately agree, yes, what Prabhuji is saying is so true. You get up early, the whole atmosphere, especially if you do it in a temple atmosphere. Ooh. How many of you have been to Mangalarti in a temple? You know, right? You've gone many times. It's an amazing experience. Mangalarti. That's 1.5 hours before sunrise, more or less. Then, say 10 o'clock till, say, 5 or 6 o'clock, mode of passion. But as the sun is setting, the mode of ignorance becomes more prominent. That's one level. And there are so many things you can analyze. The manifestations of the mode of goodness can be experienced when all the gates of the body are illuminated by knowledge. That's why people in the mode of goodness, they keep their bodies very clean. They keep their bodies, they take bath 2-3 times a day. They keep their work area clean. They keep their clothes, everything about them is clean, hygienic. Therefore, they're not prone to disease. And how do they keep themselves internally clean? By always remembering God. That's how you keep internally clean. So we should be clean outside, inside. Bath, clean clothes, and then at all times, remembering God. And therefore, the easiest way to remember God, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. O chief of the Bharats, when there is an increase in the mode of passion, the symptoms of great attachment, fruitive activity, intense endeavor, and uncontrollable desire and hankering develop. Parents, you've all experienced this when your children reach the age of puberty. This is what happens. Great attachment. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to go here. I want to go there. Uncontrollable desire and hankering. Sometimes it's impossible to talk to the child because they are now coming up in that mode of passion. Now we go. When there is an increase in the mode of ignorance, O son of Kuru, darkness, inertia, madness, and illusion are manifested. Now, Krishna is not, so Krishna just showed you what to look out for. So when you see these different symptoms, now you know what mood or what mode is influencing you. This is a science. Bhagavad Gita is a science textbook. If you become thoroughly familiar with Bhagavad Gita, at every moment you can know where you're at. Now, Krishna is going to tell you what is the result of fostering these modes. Because every one of us is cultivating goodness, passion, or ignorance, or in most cases, a khichdi, a mixture. So, listen what happens now. When one dies in the mode of goodness, one attains the pure higher planets of the great sages. Maharloka, Janaloka, Siddhaloka, Brahmaloka, those are the upper higher planetary systems. When one dies in the mode of passion, one takes birth among those engaged in fruitive activities. That means you come back to earth. Because that's what earth is. Earth is the planet of fruitive activities. Higher planets are not the planets of fruitive activities. That's the planets of reaping the result of pious activities. But engaging in fruitive activities, that's earth. And when one dies in the mode of ignorance, he or she takes birth in the animal kingdom. Just see. So the mode of ignorance, nuh-uh. Don't take your next birth as an animal. The result of pious action is pure and is said to be in the mode of goodness. But action done in the mode of passion results in misery, and action performed in the mode of ignorance results in foolishness. From the mode of goodness, real knowledge develops. From the mode of passion, greed develops. And from the mode of ignorance, develop foolishness, madness, and illusion. Those situated in the mode of goodness gradually go upward to the higher planets. So that's the planets of the devatas, and it was previously mentioned, the planets of the great sages. The planets of the great sages are above the planets of the devatas. Those in the mode of passion live on the earthly planets. So what I said is confirmed. You stay in the mode of passion, you come back to earth. Just like I give the example. When you see someone super excelling in the material world, don't think that that was something overnight. When you see these super athletes, super musicians, right? They have been coming back as human beings for many lifetimes. Because why? They want that fruitive result. Those in the mode of passion live on the earthly planets, and those in the abominable mode of ignorance go down to the hellish worlds. So Krishna now has told you the symptoms, how to discern what mode of nature you're in. He's also told you what is going to be the result Obviously, it's not all the same, is it? So, by reading Bhagavad Gita, you begin to take life very seriously because you realize my destiny is in my own hand. I am the architect of my own good or bad fortune. It all depends what mode of nature I want to cultivate. If I cultivate the mode of goodness, what happens? Elevation. If I cultivate the mode of passion, come back to Placentia or wherever. And if you cultivate Tamogun, animal kingdom, or lower even, depends. In the final section of this chapter, verses 19 through 27, the topic is transcending the modes, which would be interesting to a person who is thinking, the mode of goodness is not even good enough. I want something better, which is the real intelligence. Because, remember, Krishna said, in the mode of goodness, you become conditioned to happiness. So that word condition should have caused a light to go on. Condition? Yes. Condition means prisoner. You're still a prisoner of this material world. You may be a first-class prisoner, but you're still a prisoner. So either you're in the mode of goodness, passion, or ignorance, because the Sanskrit word is guna. So guna means this mode. But guna also means rope. So these modes are tying you. What did Krishna do? What did Yashoda do to naughty Krishna? She tied him up with ropes. But she couldn't at first. No matter how much rope she used, Krishna said, you still need 2 inches, 2 fingers. No matter how much rope she got. Finally, Krishna said, okay, now you can tie me up. So we are tied up by these modes of nature. When you're in the mode of ignorance, you're totally tied up. Hands, feet, legs, everything. The mode of passion, less tied up. In the mode of goodness, less tied up, but you're still tied up. Now in this section, how to break those ropes to become free. Hare Krishna. When one properly sees that in all activities, no other performer is at work than these three modes of nature, and when one knows the Supreme Lord, who is transcendental to all these modes, that person attains my spiritual nature. So again, Krishna's spiritual nature, Sat, Chit, Ananda. Eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. So Krishna says, if you can understand these things, then that's the beginning. When the embodied being is able to transcend these three modes associated with the material body, then one can become free from birth, death, old age, and their distresses. Anybody here like getting old? I don't. Huh? Anybody here like getting sick? No. But it's happening, isn't it? We're getting old even against our will. We don't want to get old. You know why you don't want to get old? The reason why you don't want to get old is by nature you're eternal. But this material body being conditioning you, even though by nature you should be free and not getting old, but still you're subjected to this body which is getting old. So one who can transcend these three modes can enjoy nectar even in this life. Amrit, deathless nectar. Right now, you're tasting it. In your ears, you're hearing Bhagavad Gita. Right now, you're deathless. The more that you hear and drink in this Gita Katha, you're becoming Amrit. So now Arjuna asks Krishna a question. My dear Lord, by what symptoms is one known who is transcendental to these three modes? What is one's behavior? And how does one transcend the modes? And that's the most important question. Okay? Three questions here asked by Arjuna. What are the symptoms of one who is transcendental? What is that person's behavior? But the most important question, how does one actually transcend? Shishi Radha Raman Bhagavan Ki. In other words, I could tell you a billionaire acts like this. And that might sound very, oh, that's what a billionaire does? Yes. But more important would be, how can I become a billionaire? That would be a better question. Then I'll know exactly what everything is. So Arjuna is saying, how do I transcend these modes? So here is the answer by Krishna. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O son of Pandu, one who does not hate illumination, attachment, and delusion when they are present, nor long for them when they disappear, who is unwavering and undisturbed through all these reactions of the material qualities, remaining neutral, knowing that the modes alone are active, who is situated in the self, who regards alike happiness and distress, who looks upon a lump of earth, a stone, and a piece of gold with an equal eye, who is equal toward the desirable and the undesirable, who is steady, situated equally well in praise and blame, honor and dishonor, and who treats alike both friend and enemy, one who has renounced all material activities, such a person is said to have transcended the modes of nature. But now, so Krishna has just given the symptoms. The next verse, in my opinion, is the most important verse of this chapter. And you will see in so many of Srila Prabhupada's writings and in his lectures, this verse he quotes time and time again. This verse is the process how to transcend. So if you're interested, now is the time to really pay attention. One who engages in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. So let's take a look and fully understand this verse. Full devotional service means no ulterior motive, no agenda, no business. Krishna, I'll do this, give me this. Full devotional service means clean slate. Krishna, I am now going to serve you. That's it. I am your surrendered servant. Okay? No little hidden thing in the back. No. Pure. Next item, unfailing in all circumstances. That means 24/7, 365, day in, day out, year in, year out, and if necessary, life in, life out. It took Bharat 3 births, right? He was the son of God. Bharat was the son of Rishabhdev. Rishabhdev is Vasudev. He's God. So he was the son of God. But because he became attached to a deer, took him 2 more lives to achieve perfection. Slight little mistake he made. Although this organization, what is it called, PETA? They should use Bharat as their poster child. That's the group that is for animal cruelty. PETA, they're called. Not PETA. They're called PETA. They're the ones that go after companies if they do cruelty to animal testing and all this. You've heard. So Bharat became attached to that deer and gave up his devotional life. So Krishna gave him a little slap. Take one birth as a deer. But he had full consciousness as the deer of what had happened. So as a deer, he stayed in an ashram, near an ashram. Then in his next life, he took birth as the son of a Brahmin and was known as Jardabharman. And he achieved perfection. One time, Durga Mata, Kali, protected him. They were going to sacrifice him. Some dacoits were going to sacrifice him. So Kali Ma came out and killed all the dacoits that were going to harm this pure devotee. So it took him 3 births to achieve this. So unfailing in all circumstances. That is the real thing. You never slip. All right? So full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstance, at once transcends the modes of nature. So the question is, what is devotional service? Because the exact Sanskrit, bhakti yogena, in this verse, mangjayavi abhicharena, bhakti yogena sevate, Sagunan samati yaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Brahma bhuyaya kalpate means same status as God. In this sense, sat, chit, ananda. Not that you become God, but you're on his platform. The platform of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. You're on an equal level with God on that. You're on the same platform. So what is this full devotional service? Allow me to sing the line. Shravana kirtana smarana vandana pada sevana dasyare bolo. Shravana kirtana smarana vandana pada sevana dasyare pujana sakhi janak mani vedana. Pujana sakhi janak mani vedana. Govinda dasabi lashare. So, there are 9 processes of this devotional service, bhakti yoga. Processes. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs, the first 2 are the most important. There is no discussion of the other 7 unless the first 2 are done sufficiently. What are they? Hearing and chanting. Are you hearing now? Very good. The hearing process should continue throughout the day. And when you've heard and heard and heard and heard, it comes out. Anyone who is now a preacher is only a preacher because they have spent hours and hours and hours hearing. In my case, I heard for years and years from Srila Prabhupada. I still listen. I hear Srila Prabhupada, his singing, how he gives class. There are hundreds and hundreds of recordings of Prabhupada preaching. You and reading his books. Hearing and reading the books. Reading the books is also hearing. Prabhupada said, when you read these, like if you read Bhagavad Gita, who are you associating with? Krishna even says, one who studies this sacred conversation worships me by his intelligence. That's in chapter 18. Reading Bhagavad Gita is worship of Krishna. How? Not with the arti, not with the bell, with your buddhi, Krishna says. So this hearing process, you should hear from the lips of pure devotees so that you'll get the real amritam. If you don't hear from devotees, that milk will be touched by the lips of a serpent. So you should hear from pure devotees. Go on hearing, go on hearing, go on hearing, and eventually you'll be amazed what will come out. If you hear Rush Limbaugh, that's what will come out in your conversation. You should be hearing from devotees. So this hearing and chanting, this has to be done as much as possible, day in, day out. You cannot overdose. No chance. If you overdose, you'll become like Lord Chaitanya. Hari Bol! You'll become like this. That's good. If you engage in this hearing and chanting, then you'll get to the stage of remembering. People ask me, Prabhuji, how you can remember so many? It's because I've done years and years of hearing and chanting. I'm still, every day, several hours a day, I'm hearing and chanting. That's why I can remember this verse, that verse, with the reference number, this. It's only because I put in the time. Then there's praying, offering prayers. I know all of you, I've watched. You come and you offer your prayers. That's an item of devotional service. Very good. Vandanam, offering prayers. Then you may not be the pujari like Gadadhar or Raghunandan, but when you attend the arti, you're worshiping. It's not that just the pujari is worshiping. When you attentively attend the arti, you're also worshiping. That's another item, worship. So there's hearing, chanting, remembering, praying, worshiping. Then there is this stage of worshiping or serving the Lord's feet, meaning you simply want to render some menial service. Then you can come to the stage like Hanuman, where he's constantly engaged in serving the Lord. Constantly. And there's no material check. You can serve the Lord in any so-called material condition. There's no check. If you have a desire, that's all that's required. You can even serve within the mind. Say you're in a situation, physically you can't do anything. You can still do devotional service within the mind. There's a nice story of a Brahman. He was offering sweet rice in his mind. And in his meditation, He touched the pot to see if it was cool. And his finger got burnt. And he woke up, and his finger was really burnt. And the Lord, Narayan, was smiling. And Lakshmi said, "What's so funny?" And Narayan told his servants, "Get that Brahmin. He is fit to go back to Godhead." And he was simply doing it within his mind. Then there is the stage. So, Sakyam, becoming Krishna's friend. Otherwise, how is it that Krishna is driving Arjuna's chariot? Arjuna must be Krishna's friend. I don't see Krishna driving us to work, huh? But Krishna drove Arjuna's chariot, so they have a friendship. And then, the ultimate stage, full self-surrender. Or, you can do all nine. Chapan Bhog. You can do all nine. Do all of them. This is full devotional service. Final verse of the chapter, which is a very important verse. I could give a whole 1 hour lecture just on this. Don't worry, I'm not going to do it. Because I know we have to do japa. Let me finish up quick. The final verse of this chapter. Because this verse ended, if you do full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstance, you transcend the modes of nature and come to the level of Brahman. Now listen to what Krishna says. I am the basis of the impersonal Brahman. Some people are spiritually dyslexic. They think Krishna comes from impersonal Brahman. But Krishna says, what are you talking about? The Brahman comes from me. Not that I come from... That's like saying the sun comes from the sunshine. Does that make sense? Where does the sunshine come from? Not vice versa, right? The milk doesn't produce the cow, does it? The cow produces the milk. So Brahman comes from Krishna, not vice versa. That's what Krishna is saying here. His body is giving off effulgence. That is the Brahman. Now what is, now he says, and this Brahman is immortal, imperishable, eternal, and the constitutional position of ultimate happiness. In other words, as long as you're in the modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, you're not going to be totally happy. You want to be totally happy? You have to come to this level of Brahman. And Krishna told you how to do it. Full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances. Therefore, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. I thank you for this wonderful opportunity to speak on Bhagavad Gita. I cannot repay you enough for what you allow me to do. So the only thing I can do is bless you. Would you like me to bless you? Okay, everybody fold your hands over your heart. Close your eyes. My dear Lord, please, that's all right, you don't have to repeat. My dear Lord, please bless these nice devotees who have heard your 14th chapter of Bhagavad Gita and allow them to become Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. Allow them to become eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. If you accept, chant the Maha Mantra. Thank you very much. I live to come here and speak. Thank you, Prabhupada.